When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Own the Microphone. Join me, Bridget McGowan, an award-winning international professional speaker and owner of the independent publishing company, BMAC Talks Press. Hello and welcome to today's episode of Own the Microphone. I am your host, Bridget McGowan, and I have with me Angela V. Harris. Angela, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Bridget.
Now, Angela, you are not only a speaker, but I cannot help but to notice you have done some great things in the pageant world. Tell me, how do those two lives come together, being a speaker, but also being Miss Northwest, Washington, D.C.?
Great question, Bridget. Well, I am dipping my toe into the pageant world for the first time this year. I'm competing in the Miss Corporate America competition, which is a business-friendly competition for corporate professionals and entrepreneurs. And I am representing my hometown of Washington, D.C. as Miss Northwest Washington, D.C. And my pageant platform is focused on advocacy for Black women in technology, which is something very near and dear to my heart. In my corporate career, I worked in the tech industry for over 20 years. And now in my role as a coach, my coaching practice is focused on elevating Black women in the tech industry, because Black women only make up 3% of the industry. And that number has remained flat for years.
Wow. And what did you do first? Was it the tech piece or was it the speaking piece? How did you get into speaking?
The tech piece, and I guess because of my passion for being vocal about some of the issues with the tech industry, that led me to the speaking piece. I started getting invitations to speak on panels, and then from there, invitations to do keynotes. As an example, I think it was back in 2018, I was invited to do the keynote address for the Drexel University Black graduation ceremony. I gave the keynote address for that, and Drexel University is my alma mater. So it was definitely a full circle moment to be able to come back as an alumni and support the next generation of students graduating.
So you saw an issue, you saw something maybe that you didn't like, or maybe you thought needed amplifying, and you said, hey, I'm going to speak out. Am I hearing that correctly?
Absolutely. Absolutely. One thing my friends say about me is that when I see a need or a gap, I do something about it. So that's just how I am.
But my listeners may say, how do you do that? How do you say, okay, people need to know about this, or okay, this needs a voice, and I'm going to be that voice. What advice would you give to listeners for, I don't know, taking that leap and saying, I'm going to speak up?
For me, honestly, sometimes it was just as simple as putting myself out there, you know, doing it afraid. I'm not going to say there haven't been times when I have been nervous, especially when you're sharing aspects of your personal life, that vulnerability, that's putting it out there. So there's definitely nerves involved with that. But I will say it's been a blessing at the same time, because I've been able to reach people just by sharing personal experiences about myself. I remember one particular example, a girlfriend of mine was having an event, and it was literally my first time, you know, sharing my personal story. So a bit about me, I lost my mother to stomach cancer when I was 3 years old. And my father died from prostate cancer when I was 21 years old. And I shared what that was like for me growing up. And there was a young woman that attended that event that immediately came up to me after that event saying, I need to talk to you. She was being raised by her father. So we immediately formed a bond just based on what I had shared. So she saw something in my story that resonated with her.
Wow. So it's really about sharing your story. And thank you for letting us into that part of your life. And so sorry for your loss for sure there.
Yeah.
With 20 plus years of experience in the tech industry and Fortune 500 companies, Angela V. Harris has walked in your shoes. As a Black woman in tech, she knows it can get lonely because there aren't a lot of women in upper management and executive leadership. And although the industry is growing to become more inclusive, Angela believes it's necessary to ensure greater accessibility with fewer barriers. And she, through her coaching and her speaking, wants women to have a more diverse and inclusive environment than she had when she entered the industry. And Angela does her part to recruit, to provide access, and retain talented women in that space. Her intuitive approach brings clarity, direction, and positive support to our audiences as well as to her coaching clients. She looks at it as navigating your career as you're working and trying to figure this all out, but you're doing it without a mentor or without a sponsor or without a coach. And she fills that gap. She unlocks that next level of success through her speaking, through her coaching. And I love this story where you saw your first computer when you were 6 years old and you were totally mesmerized. Your dad bought it for you. A Commodore 64C when you were 9 years old was your first computer that your dad got for you. How would you say that moment? Just, I don't know how it pushed you forward in speaking in technology.
When I think back to that story, it really makes me grateful for the man that my father was because he was essentially the first person to believe in me. I can't remember what I said or did, but he clearly saw some interest there and definitely nurtured and supported that. So clearly he was the first mentor that I had in my life. And I wouldn't be the woman that I am today had it not been for my father nurturing that seed that he saw within me. So it's a very powerful experience for me.
When you think about powerful experiences from the stage, what would you say is one of the most memorable or most powerful experiences either you had or you saw in an audience member?
Couple. Again, the story I just shared about the young lady that immediately came up to me after the speech that I gave, but also just thinking back to the opportunity when I had the chance to speak to the students at Drexel University. I remember as I was giving the speech and started sharing, aspects of some of the things that I endured during my personal journey, people literally started clapping in the midst of me delivering my speech. I could hear the mm-hmms and the yes and all that. So they were definitely, feeling it and following along with me. And because it was a college audience at the time, I did throw in a reference to a popular Drake song at the time. So that definitely got their attention. And some people actually still remember that speech. I'm still involved with the university. So as I, interact with different alumni, different students, they actually still remember that speech.
It funny how people will remember the most interesting pieces of your presentation? That's why you have to be so careful with what you say and how you craft them, because you'll think to yourself, I gave the most compelling, passionate speech ever. And you remember that. Oh, goodness. Now, have you always been super confident on the microphone, or was this something that kind of grew over time?
Say it's definitely a muscle that I'm still growing. Again, I think back to that first experience when my girlfriend asked me to, share my story. I remember it was a Sunday afternoon. I definitely went to church that morning and I ran into a friend. I'm like, I'm so nervous. Can you please pray for me? So it's definitely something that I'm still developing. And I'll say the nerves are still there, but I will say that once I get out there and kind of start, getting into it, it completely goes away. But leading up to it's definitely a ball of nerves. And one of the things that I do to try to offset that, I'm a huge fan of affirmation. So I always just try to get myself in a mindset and kind of pump myself up before the event. But once I get started, the nerves are out the window. But leading up to it is definitely a ball of nerves.
So, and I get asked this question a lot, and I have to ask you because of something you just said. Is there anything in particular you do to pump yourself up? I know some people will listen to music. Some people will jump up and down backstage. Some people, just must exercise no matter what. Is there something you do to quote unquote pump yourself up?
Of what you shared. So for me, I'm a huge fan of having a morning routine. So part of my morning routine is exercise, it's meditating, it's journaling, it's reading or reciting affirmations, depending on the day, that there may be a certain song that I listen to kind of, get me in the mood. So it's a combination of all those things.
If someone said you cannot do any of that, you cannot meditate, you cannot journal, you can't do any of that, but we want you to deliver your presentation, what would your response be?
Just do it anyway. I would just go do it anyway.
Now, when you think about presentations that you've seen, what would you say is one of the biggest mistakes people make? About what's one of the biggest mistakes they make? What or what do they get wrong about what makes for a great presentation?
Just say based on personal preference, and I guess also things that I've learned along the way, not really connecting with the audience. I was at a conference a couple of months ago, and the presenter was essentially looking at the screen that had the PowerPoint the entire time. I didn't feel a connection with that particular presenter, and I feel like he may even had his hands in his pocket. So I didn't really feel like he was fully connected or engaged with the audience.
I have to agree with you on that one, and I know our final production of this conversation is audio only, but listeners, if you could see my face as Angela was talking about, he's looking at the screen and I'm sitting here gagging and he's got
Yes,
his hands in
yes.
his pockets and I'm about to pass out. Those are huge no's. Do not look at that screen. Use your confidence monitor or your downstage monitor, your DSM, especially if you're on a larger stage. They nine times out of 10 will have a confidence monitor or a downstage monitor. Or if you're not in a larger venue that provides that, or even if you're in a larger venue and they don't provide, whatever. I'm tripping all over myself here. Have your computer set up, your laptop set up, so you can glance at it. Just very discreetly glance at what is being projected, but do not look at that screen and get your hands out of your pocket. Reminds, what was that line from Malcolm X? Get your hands out of my pocket. I listened to someone deliver a presentation once, and a mistake that was made was not kind of the same thing that you mentioned, not making it audience centric, not starting off making the presentation more about the audience and connecting with the audience. This person spent quite a bit of time in those opening minutes talking about their qualifications or what put them in a position to be able to speak on that topic. And my attitude toward that is, you don't need to do that. The fact that you have the microphone makes you the master. It makes you the expert. You don't have to sell yourself. You're already in the conference program. You've already gone out in the company agenda for the professional development day. You don't have to do that. Immediately connect with your audience. Tell me this, Angela. I know how I connect with my audiences, and that is immediately giving them a reason to listen and immediately giving them a sense of, I get it. I understand where you're coming from. I know the challenges that brought you here, and I'm going to provide you with solutions. How do you connect with your audiences either right away or throughout or even at the end of your presentation?
It may be, I guess, a opening line that I try to grab them with, whether it's a significant question or maybe a inspiring or motivating quote that kind of draws their attention. I'm a tech person at heart, so there may be times where I might throw up a quick engaging poll or survey question to kind of get them engaged and get their feedback. So there's a variety of ways.
And I like the fact that you think about your audience and you think about the topic. And so, depending on the audience, depending on the topic, or even the location, you may one day, choose one strategy, another day, a different strategy. When you think about the different presentations that you give, I'm just curious, do you like in-person presentations or virtual presentations better?
I could honestly go either way. I'm very adaptable, but honestly, with the in person, there's a different level of energy behind being in the room with folks, but I can go either way.
Okay, so tell me this. When it comes to virtual presentations, because since 2020, everybody's doing a virtual presentation, meeting, or what have you. What would you say is a best practice for online presentations, or what is a strategy you put in place? Because there's that physical distance and it can be harder to connect. So, what have you found is a best practice for you when you deliver a virtual presentation?
Well, I would say definitely before the presentation kicks off, if it's something that I'm running myself, definitely having like a nice playlist going to kind of get the people amped up and, set the vibe and set the tone for the meeting. Again, if it is virtual, there's definitely the opportunity to leverage online polling or asking folks to comment or follow along in a chat, put a one in the chat, you share an emoji, something along those lines.
Yes, definitely getting them feeling like it's not going to be a one-way street, and where you're positioning them to feel like they're part of the conversation, where it's not going to be a sit and get type of
Right,
experience, is
yeah.
what I
Try
like
to
to
make it
tell
as
people.
interactive as possible. And
Yeah, yeah.
honestly, I try to encourage their participation. I try to follow along the chat as best as I can, or if I have somebody that can kind of help me, call out comments or flag questions in the chat, I try to do that as we're going through the presentation.
Right. I like to build in those moments where I will stop my presentation essentially and check the chat. Or I have built in engagement opportunities where I'm asking a very specific question and you're either responding to a poll or you're responding to a multiple choice question, or I'm just
Yes.
having you. I'll be honest with you, I don't like using the built-in tools a lot of times because you've got to get your questions to the coordinator by a certain date and so on and so forth. And Angela, I'm one of those people where I'll make a change to my presentation 10 minutes before it's showtime because I read something or I heard something or, right? So that drives me crazy. I won't use a lot of those tools. So I'll ask a question that just has you, like you said, putting an emoji in the chat or on a scale of 1 to 5, with one being this and 5 being that, put your number in the chat. It makes it easier. It reduces the barrier to engagement because if I've got to get somebody to pull up the poll for me and then you've got to wait for it to pop up on your screen and then you've got to find your mouse and read, oh, that's too much. And it's so funny when I talk to event organizers and they'll ask, do you have polls? No. Do you have videos? No. Do you sound? No.
And I
I
guess like
show up as
me being a tech person, like those are all the questions that I ask. Like, what type of technology will I have access to? Can I do a poll? Can I play video? So I'm trying to get those logistics in advance of the presentation so I can come prepared appropriately.
right. And okay, so may I assume that you tend to incorporate polls and other media? And see, I
Yes.
don't. I'm on the complete opposite end of the spectrum. I know it's going to happen to me. The video's not going to play properly. The sound is not going to work. I just don't even want to have to deal with it. So I'm one of those as low tech as you can get. I mean, I'll show up with a slide deck. I'll do that. But that's about it. Now, Angela, I know you have a question for me, and I'll give you an opportunity to ask it in a second. But here's my question for you. When you think about all of the presentations that you have delivered, which one would you say is your absolute favorite presentation that you would deliver time and time again, and why?
Wow. I would have to go back to one I just did in August of last year. I had the opportunity to present at the International Coaching Federation, ICF, their Converge Conference, which is a conference for professional coaches. I was a first-time attendee and also a first-time presenter. And I had the opportunity to co-present with another coach, and our topic was the nuances of coaching Black professionals. And I share that because the coaching industry is primarily white and female, and Black coaches only make up about, I want to say, 8% of the industry. So oftentimes, if a Black professional is afforded an opportunity to work with a coach, their coach is most likely not going to look like them. And going back to what we spoke about at the top of our call, the fact that Black professionals are underrepresented, not only in technology, but also in the leadership levels, you know, coaching is the missing piece in this, you know, representation DEI puzzle. So that is definitely something that I will continue to speak on over and over again, is to raise awareness to the need for professional development for Black professionals.
I love that. And it connects back to what we were saying earlier in terms of you see this gap, you see this challenge, and that is what you speak on. So I love the fact that your favorite presentation is that amplification.
Yes.
Of addressing that need. Okay, Angela, what is your question for me?
Well, Bridget, what would you say is the biggest misconception people have regarding public speaking?
The biggest misconception people have when it comes to public speaking is that you have to be an extrovert, or that you have to be someone who has the gift of gab, right? And that is not so. You do not have to be the life of the party. You do not have to be the one who always has something to say, or the one who's always speaking up in meetings. Yes, you do tend to get people's attention more when you do speak up more often, or when you do have the quote unquote gift of gab. Yes, you do tend to get people's attention that way, or it makes it a little bit easier for you to get people's attention. But I don't want people to feel like they have to be this on and popping and rocking and talking all the time type of person in order to be a phenomenal professional speaker. All it takes is that you have a passion for a topic, you have a possibly unique perspective on it, and you are ready to share and empower other people to learn more about the topic. And you speak from a place of wanting to teach. That's kind of how I got my start with professional speaking, in a way, was teaching. I started teaching many years ago. And so really that public speaking piece is rooted in teaching more so than it is in talking. So yes, I think that would be it. Thinking that you have to have this gift of gab, and that is not the case.
Yeah, I like that passion, persistence, and wanting to teach.
Yes, without a doubt. When you show up thinking to yourself, I want to put my audience in a better position after they hear me speak than they were in before they entered the room. When you tell yourself that, it removes so much stress, so much pressure, so much anxiety, I think. And yes, you want to look good, you want to sound good, you want your slides to be phenomenal, all of that good stuff. You want the technology to work, right? All of those things. Yes, yes, and yes, you do. But when you think about, this is a room full of students who are eager to learn from you, it removes some of that anxiety, I believe, from worrying so much about you and yourself as a speaker. I love that question.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to what you said earlier regarding the fact that if you're on the stage, you're already viewed as the expert. You don't need anything else to validate yourself as being the expert.
Exactly. I need people to understand that. I need you to say to yourself, out of all of the folks at this company, on the planet, in the industry, they chose me. That speaks volumes. Recognize that you are the master. You've got the mic, you are the master. Okay, Angela, what else do listeners need to know in order to make sure they always own the microphone?
I think we covered a lot of that, but like to go back to what you said, just recognize that if you are given a microphone, you are an authority. And I guess one little piece that I've learned or heard along the way, we may get so hung up if we forget to say something, but they don't know what you don't know. So if you forget it, they don't necessarily know that.
Right.
We can beat ourselves up about that, but they had no idea what you were planning to say anyway.
As long as you don't put yourself on quote unquote front street and put yourself on blast and share the fact that you forgot something, they will not know and check it out. That gives you a little gem that you can use to possibly create another speaking engagement or another opportunity to further engage with that audience. The fact that you have this nugget of information that you didn't offer up in the first engagement. Yeah, so I love that one. Love it, love it, love it. Angela V. Harris, it has been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today.
Thank you, Bridget. I enjoyed our conversation as well.
Yes, and yes. And to the listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. Until next time, I am Bridget McGowan. Remember to always own the microphone.